As many of our listeners know, the month of February brings us one of our favorite events, Premier Napa Valley. To celebrate Premier, we'll be rebroadcasting Premier Napa Valley 2013 for this podcast. Watch for Premier 2014, which will go online during the final week of February.
Getting that first look.
Premier is a hell of a show.
Exciting, exhausting.
The who's who of Napa Valley.
Diverse.
Woohoo!
Exciting.
Exceptional.
Tornado. Awesome.
Snooping.
Pretty overwhelming.
Wonderful times.
It's like when the city comes to Napa.
Anticipation.
Exciting and productive.
Voluptuous.
Fun. That's what it's all about.
I can't do it in one word.
I mean, fantastic wines.
Next year, I'll come back with one, right?
Favorite.
It's old home week, but a lot of fun as well.
Only a week and a half ago, Premier Napa Valley 2013 convened to auction off $3.4 million worth of specially crafted wine at the Culinary Institute of America at Greystone. For our fifth visit to Premier, we interviewed 41 winemakers and owners at the event. Almost half of those were new to us at LBTV, and many were celebrating their first time at Premier. A very special thanks to the Napa Valley Vintners Association for their support. This program is available in three parts, so sit back and listen in on the fantastic events that made up Premier Napa Valley 2013.
And I'm here with Bill Taplin of Taplin Cellars. How you doing, Bill?
Pretty good, good.
So you are part of the Appalachian Santa Elena pre-premiere party that's being held here at Krug. And this is your first time for this event, right?
Yes, it is. We had our first release this year of our 2008 Cabernet.
Now, when you and I were chatting before, what really got my attention was the fact that this property that you farm has been in your family since the 1800s. How far does that go back exactly?
Well, my great-great-grandfather purchased the land in 1864. He had property in Hayward, and they wanted a little better weather, so they bought up here and moved up here in mid-1800s.
And sadly, you got stuck with it now.
Yes, it's been a burden.
Yeah, I'll bet. But for the longest time, your family's been selling grapes, and now you've decided to make wine yourself.
Yes, we've done many things in between. We've raised cattle, hay, prunes, walnuts, turkeys. There's always been a little bit of grape in there and a little bit of winemaking.
The natural thing is that you are a farmer, which, of course, what is winemaking is all about, right?
Absolutely. It's an agricultural enterprise. We go where the market goes, and the market is growing grapes and making wine now.
What was it that made you decide to go ahead and do something as crazy as making wine?
Well, it's kind of a no-brainer. When you live here this long, we know many people in the industry. We've always just been farmers and sold grapes, but we decided it was time to put our toe into the pool and see how the winemaking would go.
So as far as selling, I mean, when you're talking about 200 cases, how do you sell 200 cases when you're brand new in the year 2013?
Well, we hope that one of the differentiators for us is going to be this backstory. I mean, there are a lot of people who have come to the Valley and tried to make it in the wine industry because they've got deep pockets. Well, we're just farmers, and we're trying to, like I said, go where the market goes and just try it out.
If there were no farmers, there would be no wine, right?
That's right. Well, it all starts in the vineyard, and we work with our cousin, Doug White, who's a very good vintner or a viticulturalist, and he really takes good care of the vineyard. It's got a good reputation, and we're frankly taking advantage of that.
And Bill, are you the winemaker yourself then?
No, I'm not. We did a custom crush. Bill Ballantyne at William Cole Vineyards here in St. Helena made the wine for us, and he's done a very good job.
Excellent. And you said to me, I believe you have a website. Is that correct?
We do.
And how would our listeners find you on the web?
TaplinCellars.com.
This was a lot of fun chatting with you. I really appreciate you taking the time.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
And good luck.
All right.
I'm here with Paul Skinner of Sequim. How are you doing, Paul?
Great. Thank you.
Now, we're talking about the fact that you have some connections in Wisconsin, and what you have here is an excellent Zinfandel. You also have an estate cab, I believe.
Right.
And a regular cab, and was this a Syrah as well?
Syrah, Napa Valley cab, and Dry Creek Zin, as well as the wines.
And do you have something that you'll be having at Premier, or are you just here for today's event?
Just here. I'm too small to be part of a Premier.
But 600 cases is definitely small, but that's something that people seek out.
Well, when people find us, I have people all over the country that go to Vegas or Los Angeles or Monterey and find our wine in a restaurant, then go home and they can't find it anywhere. So gradually it's they're finding us on the internet and becoming part of our wine club, and we're getting wine to them. So.
And your prices are very reasonable. I believe it was around 35, Syrah was what?
38, and the Cabernets are 50 and 60.
Very reasonable prices. And how long have you been making wine?
Since 1998.
So you've been around for a good period of time.
I've been in the business 30 years almost as a consultant to a lot of wineries and vineyards here in the Valley. Then we bought a little vineyard in 1998, and that's been the basis of my moving over into the winemaking. So we make our wines up at Pride Mountain, which is a great place to make wines, but I've been their consultant for since they bought the vineyard 20 years ago.
Very, very good people. You're in a great spot.
Now, that's where our wines are taken care of. So I'm very happy with that.
Paul, do you have a website our listeners could go to find out about you?
Sure, sequum.com, sequum.com.
And the key is get that UUM in there.
Two U's, not squim, the soils term, actually. So.
Well, we wish you luck and hope you end up in Wisconsin sooner than you would expect. Thanks for taking the time.
Thank you.
Well, cheers. I'm here with Clay and Brenda Cockrell of
Cockrell Family Wine Estates.
Cockrell Family Wine Estates. How are you doing today?
Doing great.
Very well.
It's nice to see you both again. And I understand you're not going to be at the auction itself tomorrow, but we're here at Clos Pegas. We were just drinking your 2010 Petit Syrah, which I thought was pretty amazing, selling at a really good price point, $35. Tell me a little bit about that. Now you're talking about ageability on it. But it
comes from our vineyards, which are just right up the road here. We're in Calistoga, and our vineyard is on Highway 128. This is a fairly old vineyard. It's been there for about 65 years. These vines are probably 10, 15 years old. And we have a French winemaker, Christine Barbe, who's from Bordeaux. And she's, even though this isn't a Bordeaux grape, she's extremely talented. She's made this, aging it in a blend of new and old French oak, and really delicious. Blended a little bit with some Cabernet, about 5-10%, but mostly just pure Petit Syrah right off our land.
And yet another female winemaker.
Absolutely, another female winemaker. One thing I should tell you about Christine. Christine is amazingly talented, and she's been with us since the get-go in 2006. And we're so fortunate because she understood the kind of wine we wanted to make. We wanted to make something that was distinctively California, but also had the elegance of some of the Bordeaux Blancs, which was our first wine. The first vineyard we bought was all Sauvignon Blanc, so thus we started with Sauvignon Blanc. And then we purchased a vineyard next door that had some red varietals, so we branched out. And she has always just risen to the challenge to make beautiful wines.
Well, and you know, as I was looking through the catalog, more and more female winemakers popping up all the time.
Yeah. Well, I think so. I mean, I can't really speak to those numbers, but I'll tell you something that Christine and I are really excited about. We've just become involved with a group of women in the wine industry here in the Napa Valley called A Woman's Palette. And this was founded by Sharon Harris. And we are working on introducing wines, fine wines, to women throughout the United States and getting them to be interested in drinking better wines. And it's some really, really talented people in the wine industry. So.
Now that's great. And Sharon Harris also founded Wine Entre Femmes.
Yes, absolutely. And her latest venture is Rare Cat. But
so,
she's an incredibly nice person. And we're just excited to be involved with this group of women who are really introducing fine wines from the Napa Valley throughout the United States.
And for our listeners who'd like to learn a little more about Cockrell Wines, how would they find out about you online?
They can go online at www.cockrell.com, mm-hmm. or if they just want to spell it by our name, C-O-C-K-E-R-E-L-L.
It'll come up.
It'll come up also.
And we're on Facebook and Twitter and, you know, all that stuff. I mean, I don't know how to do it, but I'm so glad that someone else does.
All the important places.
Absolutely.
Well, either way, thank you both, Clay, Brenda, for talking to me. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Thank you for enjoying our wines.
I am here with Julie Hoskins from Chic Le Chef, and we are at Clos Pegas here in Calistoga. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. It's wonderful here in the caves, and all the energy with today's event is pretty significant.
And of course, you're not a winemaker, at least you're not doing wine today. Tell me a little bit about your company, because what I just tasted was an amazing homemade cracker. I'll let you describe what I just had.
Oh, well, what you just had, I saw the experience of utter joy, was a homemade cheese cracker with whole grain mustard, and we had Parmesan and cheddar cheese, scratch made, And then Chev, we knew there was going to be a lot of whites here today, so you're hoping that that might be a pairing experience for someone, with the peach marmalade and toasted hazelnuts. And as you discovered, there was a lot going on with that particular dish. And then we also have a house-made brioche, as well as a smoked salmon with the orange zest and the tarragon, which is another interesting herb to present here today.
What I really like about this is, like a good wine, it just has this really great finish. And also this amazing texture of the cracker itself. Was this something you designed, or?
No, actually our chef, Chef Mario, we knew we were going to be at today's event, and I said, let's do something that's a little bit different. And so he started poring over his cookbooks from 30 years of cooking and came up with this recipe. It was kind of one of those archived recipes. Really? He hadn't done it for us before, so I was excited when we tasted the first cracker he made yesterday and couldn't wait for today. I hope there's some leftovers.
I guess it's working well under pressure, right?
That's what we do. And I think what was great about that dish, it was so balanced, you know, because you had the creaminess, the tanginess, and then the sharpness from the mustard, sweetness from the marmalade, and the hazelnuts always, you know, gives it an element of richness too.
Right. Do you regard yourselves as caterers or personal chefs? Or
we are badass caterers.
Like it.
We're the ones that will go up on top of a mountain with no water, no electricity, no refrigeration, and do, you know, a four-course meal in the middle of a field. That's the kind of caterers we are. We see there's a need with the wineries to be flexible and accommodating, and what we try to do is make custom menus that can go along with the different wines, because everybody's story, everybody's wine's different. So.
And for our listeners to learn about you and what you do, do you have a website?
Yes, it's chiclechef.com, so chiclechef.com. I have to spell it because there's so many different ways that that can be interpreted.
And that's how you want people to find you.
That's how we want people to find us, yes.
Julie, thanks a lot for talking to us.
All right, have a wonderful day.
I'm here with Bo Barrett of Chateau Montalena. How you doing, Bo?
Really great. How about you?
I'm excellent. It's great. This is Premier Week. It's a lot of fun here. And what we're looking at right now is this new project that's for Heidi Barrett. This is the winemaker. Yeah. And that is La Serena, correct?
Yeah, yep. Heidi's La Serena. And it's not that new. She's been doing it for about 10 years now. And it's just very small. It's her handcrafted wine that she makes for her own brand and sells it. And so it's really great. They're really reflect her personal style. They're just very elegant wines, and they're very true to the place. So today we're tasting a Muscat from Calistoga. So we're at the Calistoga AVA tasting today.
Right.
So we're working with our Calistoga AVA wines. So today we have a Muscat and then two Syrahs.
So about how many cases of this is she doing?
In any one of these, she makes about 400 cases of the Muscat and about 200 of these Syrahs. So they're all small handcrafted wines. The total La Serena production is approximately 2,000 cases of five different wines. So she makes Cabernet also.
As compared to Chateau Montalena, which has about how many cases?
Yeah, we make about 40,000 cases. So we're Chateau Montalena is a fully mature, first growth-sized winery, and they're typically in the 25 to 40,000 case range, up to 50, and that's what Chateau Montalena is. We make a lot of noise, but it's still a small company.
Well, what I always wonder is, I mean, she's obviously, and I'm sure you are, obviously involved in a number of other projects. How do you manage something like that when you're obviously that big and she's in such demand?
Well, at Chateau Montalena, what I like about that is it's a team thing. I'm one of the pitchers at Chateau Montalena, or the manager.
Right.
But I have my winemakers who do the day-to-day work for us now. A vineyard manager who makes sure that the field crew does what I do. So I'll go out, for example, today working on pruning a new young vineyard, how I want to shape this vineyard to build the cordons. I stand there with the vineyard manager and his assistant, and then I tell them how to do it, and then they go off and do it. I don't have to do all of it.
Yeah.
And then but with La Serena, or like my own projects, Barrett & Barrett, what you get on that is that I actually make my own stuff myself. That's a little bit like Dale Chihuly, the glass artist. He has all those people helping him, but
right.
Occasionally he will make his own piece too. So it's still his concept. So you think about a winery like Chateau Montalena, it's a teamwork thing. And most winemaking is. Even Heidi with La Serena, we have to have people helping us out.
Right. Well, it's a team effort, as you say.
Exactly.
And, of course, a lot of our listeners will know you from the well-known movie Bottle Shock.
Yeah, Bottle Shock. That really, its heart's in the right place. It's, you know, definitely more dramatic.
Right. And it's Hollywood.
Yeah, it's Hollywood. It's the Hollywood version. But everything in the movie did kind of happen. They just changed the time and made it more, either threatening or more romantic.
You know? Well, and maybe the best part is it's got a little more attention to Napa, to the quality of wine that's being made here.
Yeah, that I think, and there's a lot of that in the movie that's true today, that people really care about quality here and the sense of working with the plant. I mean, I just met a guy who's a software gajillionaire, and he's out there, he wants a job like me. You got to be crazy to work this hard if you got that kind of money. It's like, this is what I do for a living. After 40 years of making wine, I'm digging it. So it's a lot of fun. It's an interesting endeavor.
Nothing personal, but I think many of the winemakers I met are crazy.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, we are. We're all a little bit nutty. I think any farmer in the modern world is a little bit nutty.
Absolutely. Farming being one of those.
Yeah, who's crazier than a winemaker? A farmer.
Yeah, there you go. Pretty much.
A grape grower.
Hand in hand.
Yeah.
If our listeners would like to find out about this project for Heidi, how would they find out online?
The online, it's www.laserenawine.com.
And then for Chateau Montelena.
Actually, leave out the Chateau Montelena, www.montelena.com, M-O-N-T-E-L-E-N-A, second part of the word, .com. And that we have good websites at all. And the third one is the Barrett & Barrett, the project that I'm working on with Heidi. That's our newest baby out of the barn. And that's just getting started now with the 2008-2009 calves. And that's barrettwines.com.
What, just a quick to go down that alley about what kind of a quantity are you looking at producing for Barrett & Barrett?
That's only 250 cases.
Nice.
So that's a very small, and that is handcrafted. But on that one, I go out and I look at every little corner of the vineyard, and I'll pick out the tiniest, smallest berries, and then I'll take those and we'll make like just a bin, and then I take them and we work over. And then once it's pressed out, Heidi takes it over and does her magic, gets the elegance and the softness that she's so famous for. And then the final blends, like I was working with her yesterday on the 2011. So it's really fun to work in a collaboration with somebody of Heidi. Because it's funny, you know, 30 years of, you know, being married and together, our kids are grown, working for us now. We actually never made wine together until starting in 2008.
How weird.
Yeah, it's funny. It's just we had separate careers and did different things. And it was just that I worked for Montelena and she worked for other people. And, and then she started La Serena, and then we just decided, and the reason we're only making 250 cases is like, it's for fun.
Yeah.
It's, you know, if you're going to make a whole nother, I already got a winery, and she's already got a winery.
Sure.
Let's do this for fun. But it's just, again, that goes back to the craziness.
Right.
Well, why are you making more wine?
Well, and you got a lot of fans, so that's going to make it that much easier to do it in the long run, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I think it'll be fun. It's a really great wine, and it's being very well received. But again, it's small, and that's main list only.
Well, this was a real pleasure meeting you after all these years. Thank you very much.
Thank you. All right. I hope you have a great time at Premier.
I'll work on it. Really,
right.
I promise.
Right.
Okay. Cheers. Okay. This was a real pleasure. Thank you very much. I mean that. All right. I'm here with Stephanie DeMassi of Justlin Vineyards, correct?
Yes. Justlin Vineyards.
Justlin. Right. How are you today?
We're busy. We're good.
This is a nice event going on here. So tell me a little bit about, this of course is part of the Spring Mountain AVA, so tell me a little bit about what you have here.
With Justlin Vineyards, we've got about 7.5 acres planted up on the hill, just straight above from here actually, mostly the cab. So pretty much our wines stay true to our vineyard, which is about 85% planted to cab with 2 blocks of Merlot, a block of Cab Franc, and some Petit. And that one block with Petit is actually a field blend, so almost all of our wines have just this little bit, 1% of Petit Verdot, because we can't pick it out separate. Pouring today, our current vintage, which is our 2009 Cabernet Sauvignon, as well as our Premier lot, which is a 2010 Cabernet Sauvignon. Both of them are right around the same percentage of 78% Cab, around 18% Merlot, a little Cab Franc in there, and that Petit just for boost, for color kick. It's a five-case lot that's available for tomorrow, and it's the first time these wines have been tasted, so it's pretty exciting.
That's very nice, and we hear the phrase field blend quite often, and I've never actually got a definition for it. So can you give me what that definition
is? For us, what we're talking about is that the vineyard block is not just one set of varietal, so the vines are varied. even within the same row. So it's not necessarily like a true Bordeaux field blend where you actually have different varietals right next to each other. But we have several rows that are interspersed of the different varietals. And for that reason, and because it's on the same slope and it tends to ripen at the same speed, that block, we pick together, we bin together, we press together, and we ferment it together. So that block is always a field blend block. We've never gone and separated out the Merlot from the Cab Franc, and it doesn't necessarily make sense for that block. But whereas our other blocks, we ferment separately.
Cool. And I believe your card said managing partner, is that correct?
Yes.
But you're not the winemaker yourself?
No, Craig McLean is our consulting winemaker. He's been with us since the very beginning, which is our first vintage was 98, so pretty substantially long. We've been a consistent team, and Oscar Renteria is our vineyard manager.
And if our listeners, if they'd like to find out a little bit more about you and your wines, how would they find out about you online?
Absolutely, justinvineyards.com.
Well, thanks very much. That was easy.
That was easy. Thank you.
Cheers.
Thank you.
Cool. I'm here with Rebecca Peacock of Peacock Family Vineyards, and how are you today?
I'm fine, thanks. How are you?
I'm very good. And you are the future proprietor of Peacock Family Vineyards.
Yes.
Because you are a family member.
Exactly.
So this was started by your parents then, your dad, or?
So my parents own the vineyard and are the proprietors, but they need some, they need some youth to come in and.
Don't we all?
Yeah. So by the end of this year, I will be full-time engaged in the
Business.
Yes, there we go. Yes.
Well, first of all, let me wish you good luck and congratulations. I hope that goes well.
Thank you.
And you're here on Spring Mountain.
Yes, literally 1,000 feet up the road.
Okay. So about 700 feet or so on Spring Mountain.
Yes.
So this is going to be not necessarily your first foray into wine. Obviously, you've had an involvement with it in your life, but now you'll be taking over. So a totally different perspective, right?
I feel very green. I'm just, diving in, going for it, meeting lots of people, yeah.
And when did your parents start Peacock?
So they sold grapes to Cain and Barnett, and then they started their first vintage was 1999.
So this is great. I mean, you got to have a lot of excitement because it's such an amazing business. A lot of hard work, but still a lot of excitement. And you already own a business, correct?
I do, yes. I know I'm really excited to transition out of my current business and into this business, and hopefully this is my future. So,
and for our listeners to find out more about you and to find out about Peacock, how would they do that online?
PeacockFamilyVineyard.com, or they can email at Rebecca@PeacockFamilyVineyard.com.
And you would actually write them back?
Yeah.
Which is very cool.
Yeah, I would definitely write them back. So.
Excellent. I'll let you get back to pouring. Rebecca, thanks very much for taking the time. She taught me how to prune, which I consider that very cool, teaching me to prune.
She's taught a lot of people how to prune.
I bet she has, actually. So we're here with Tor Kamborg at Tor's barrel, but this is a very special barrel for me. This is the Terra Roja cab that you're pouring.
It is indeed. It's one of the, one of the exceptional vineyards in Napa Valley.
And so, first of all, I guess, how much of this are you making?
We're only making about 300 cases.
So it's a very limited quantity.
Well, the vineyard's only 4 acres.
Right.
So you have Linda, who is the owner of the vineyard, and she makes a little bit herself. And then we make Linda and I make everything that's on the property. It's a property to die for. I mean, it's got the red soil, the boulders. It's terraced. So, and it's... If you want, it's literally the tenderloin of Oakville.
Nice way to put that. That is right in Oakville. I mean, right on by Oakville Cross and Silverado Trail.
Yeah, it's got some slum lords around it. You have Dollyval, Screaming Eagle, Rudd, Bacchus, Phelps, Tench. Yeah, it's got a...
You've managed to really...
It was
a diamond in the rough, right?
It's a really rough neighborhood.
To be clear now, I'm just curious. Is Catherine DeSante involved in what you're doing with it or no?
David makes Linda's wine.
Right.
And then Jeff and I make our wine. So it is different. You have maybe a little different philosophy in the winemaking. But I think with both styles, the wine, the vineyard itself does come through. So I really respect, you know, David's interpretation, and then we have ours. They are different, but you know, I think the fundamental thing is the vineyard really comes through with both interpretations. And that's the important thing is, you know, with every great wine producer, are they letting the vineyard come through? And in both cases here, that's what happens. And that's the best that you can do. Let the vineyard go.
And I remember talking to you about this a couple years ago, where you were talking about this being a very special piece of property. So it's exciting to see that that property is now in a bottle with your name.
Yeah, I think that you were tasting with me or just came to the house, and you told me that Linda had finally succumbed to my wishes.
I think that's, you're right, that's when I did taste it the last time I talked to you. You corrected me. Thank you very much.
So
you have a far better memory than I do, sir.
You're a good messenger.
Thank you. For our listeners to learn more about Tor Kenmore, how would they do that online?
Well, we are mostly online. Just go to Tor, T-O-R-W-I-N-E-S, Tor at torwines.com. And, you know, we're pretty small, so we actually pick up the phone, too. So if you want to harass us, you know, we'll listen for a minute, but...
But harassing only to a degree.
But we actually like to hear from people, so give us a call.
And that's the best thing about it. Tor, thanks a lot, and always good to see you.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. I am here with Michael Scholes, and once again, we're talking wine here from Saint-Supery. And tell me about your lot today and what you're going to be pouring.
You know, what we're doing today is we're doing our Cabernet Sauvignon, which is from our Rutherford property. It's a really cool wine. It's a 2011, and we've put a tiny hint of Merlot into it, about 5%. And that wine is just to give a little scent of flesh. But the wine's got real nice structure, real fine grain, and that real terrific sort of blackberry and slight mocha quality. It's a wine that we've got in a brand new Taranceau barrel, which is a really cool French barrel that we're big fans of. So that's what we've sort of dedicated this lot in. And it's cool.
What makes it a cool barrel? I'm curious about that.
Well, you know, there's so many different choices of oak you can select. And it's choices by forest, by type of toast of your barrel, by Cooper, who's the person who makes it, of course. Every barrel has a slightly different profile of texture and or flavour.
Sure.
And so the Taranceau barrel is just one we think is pretty terrific.
Cool. And again, for our listeners to learn about you and Saint-Supery online, how would they find out about you?
You can go online and see us at www.saintsupery.com.
Excellent. Michael, good seeing you again.
Hi, thanks, Ray. I appreciate it.
All right, I am here with our old friend, Robin Lael of Lael Vineyards. How are you doing, Robin?
I'm doing great, thank you, Ray. Good to see you.
Good to see you. You look fantastic. It's nice to see your great big smile out here today.
Well, I always wear my great big smile. That's my best piece of apparel.
And we were just talking about that you have been basically an ambassador for Reborn Eagle Nook label, and I think that's really been an amazing thing for you to see that label back on the shelf again.
It's a tremendous thrill. It's a thrill that it's very hard for me to explain to other people. I think they can't really imagine why I'm so excited about it. But it is the kind of reunification of something that was very important to me as a girl and is very important to me today. And it's a beautiful link to the past and a beautiful foray into the future. What more could you ask for, really?
And an important piece of history for everybody to see and learn about here in Napa Valley.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I know Francis will do a fantastic job. You know he has brought in Philippe Pascal as his general manager and winemaker. And I love his persona as well as his talent. So he will bring a lot of spirit and soul to the making of this wine, and I'm sure it's going to be outstanding.
Excellent. So now we're talking about his wine. Let's talk about your wine. And I haven't looked yet. I'm assuming you're pouring a Sauvignon Blanc today. Is that correct?
I am pouring a Sauvignon Blanc today. Yes, it's Henry IV, and I don't know if you remember.
I do remember.
So the grandson named Henry, and something to do for him, and so... This is our fourth premiere with Henry Wines, hence Henry IV. We have a very nice reproduction of the real Henry IV standing next to a bottle of Georgia, which is quite well.
A little bit of a twist on history there.
A little twist on history.
So how many cases are you offering in your lot?
60 bottles.
I got to go now. Well, this poor gentleman is waiting here behind us probably, so I'm going to go ahead and, for our listeners to learn a little bit more about Leo Vineyards and to learn about Henry, how would they find out about you online?
www.lailvineyards.com.
Excellent. Good seeing you.
Thank you very much, Ray. Great to see you, and it's always one of my highlights.
I'm here with Tim Porter, Porter Family Vineyards, and you're in Coombsville. How you doing, Tim?
Good. We're doing good today.
And your family hosted, once again, an event for Coombsville over at your winery just a couple of days ago, as I recall.
Yes, on Thursday. We had 18 wineries pouring out of the Coombsville area, and we saw about 150 trade members and about 15 media members come.
Yeah, they'll be pretty excited to be able to be part of that event, but also having Coombsville being an AVA, I mean, that's a big deal, and I know that took a long time.
Coombsville's gotten some great traction over the last year. We were announced as the 16th AVA of Napa Valley about a year and a half ago, back in December. It's great to be recognized as a special area of the Valley, so we're really excited about it.
Congratulations on that. And when we say, you know, Porter Family Vineyards, I assume you are all part owners. I met your folks a couple of years ago. I don't want to make any presumptions here. Is that how that works?
Yes. It's my sister and brother-in-law were involved the first 5 years. It's my parents and myself. We've got a vineyard crew that has worked the property for the last 20 years. We consider them part of the family as well.
Very cool. What are you pouring here today for the auction lot?
We have our lot is called Duet. It is our two flagship varietals off of the property. It is a Cab Syrah blend. So it was based on the complexity of the Cabernet and overlaid with the exotic spices of our Syrah.
How can our listeners learn about you guys online?
They can visit our website at www.porterfamilyvineyards.com, or feel free to give us a call and stop by and visit us.
Tim, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
There you go. Can I try your wine, please?
Certainly.
We're here with our good friend David Marchese of Paradox. David, how are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm very good. So tell me about what your lot is today.
So we did a lot that's 63% Cabernet Sauvignon, 37% Zinfandel. It's 100% Howl Mountain off of our two estates up on Howl Mountain, Stout and Candlestick.
One of the things you and I were talking about the other day was the idea that, and you told me this 3 years ago, about the ideas of breaking into whites now for Paradox, which is pretty cool.
Yep. Yeah, so we started in 2009, and it actually, I look back in notes from that I found in my office from 1998, where the original idea of coming up with a white was. So it was a long time in the coming. But in any case, we played with some different varietals. Of course, it had to be a unique one for Paradox, and we settled on Viognier Chardonnay blend. And that's kind of where we stuck with it.
What do you think production will end up? Will it be a pretty big production or no?
No, it's just for club. So we just do it out of our tasting room and for our club shipment. So it's about 350 cases.
Cool. Great. Well, I hope you guys do well with your auction lot today. For our listeners, how can they find out about you online?
www.paradox.com.
David, always good seeing you.
Yeah, you too. Take care.
You too. There we go.
This is the end of part one. Visit lifebetweenthevines.com to download part two, or visit iTunes.